Do any of you like to use old sayings? Oh, come on. Somebody's got to like to use old sayings. Half a loaf is what? Better than none. But you know what? It's still half a loaf. And if I had my choice, I want the whole loaf, don't you? Ever notice that things that begin with the word half are usually bad news? Half cooked. Does anyone want a half-cooked chicken breast or piece of pork? Half-baked. Not very appetizing if it's a cake, right? Because it means it's kind of squishy in the middle. And what about half-baked ideas? We've all had half-baked ideas and plans. They usually don't end well, do they? How about half-done? When you say, "I'm half done with this job," that means you still got the other half to do. And that's not good. Halftime. Is halftime a good thing? Maybe if you're an athlete, you need a rest. But for the rest of us, it means the delay in watching the game, commercials, maybe even a bad halftime show you have to endure, costume malfunction, Madonna or Britney Spears. Need I say more about halftime? Half-life. Are things with half-lives good? Not usually. Half-dead. Is it a compliment to be told you look half-dead? Half-price. You go to the store and there's something half-priced. What's your first inclination? What's wrong with this thing that it's half-priced? Or half-gone, as in, my mind is half-gone. Need I say more? Let's face it, anything with the word half in it is not a good thing. It's just that putting the word half in front of another word makes it seem like so much less. Not quite, almost, but can't get it together. Half of anything is generally not good. But of all the half things that we know of, the worst of them is one that we so often see in ourselves, in others, in our families, in our churches, our communities. It's not one in my list, but I'm sure you will recognize it. The worst half is half-heartedness. One of the worst things that can ever be said about us is that we did something half-heartedly. Who likes to get one of those cold, of those half-hearted handshakes? You know, when someone just kind of reluctantly lays their cold, damp, limp hand in yours and does nothing? Anyone ever get one of those handshakes? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Or how about a half-hearted compliment on your choice of clothing, or your cooking, or your job performance? Makes you feel appreciated and respected, doesn't it? What about being loved half-heartedly by someone? There's a losing battle for you. Being loved only half-heartedly. I mean, where do you stand with a person who's only half-heartedly committed? Now, if someone has no commitment or is totally committed, you know exactly where you stand and how they'll react. But half-hearted commitment, what do you do with that? The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. Do you ever take a child or your spouse somewhere, like to the grocery store where they didn't really want to go? With me, it's the mall. Please don't ever take me to the mall. Please. Nothing but a struggle, nothing but a constant battle, and nothing that you can say or do will make those people any more pleasant to be with. You made them go where they didn't want to go, and you're going to pay for it every step of the way. Nothing more annoying than a spouse or a child who's with you only half-heartedly in something. No commitment. In any organization, there's nothing worse than a member who's only half-heartedly committed to the cause. You can't count on them to be there for meetings. You can't count on them to help with their share of the work. You can't count on them to do a good and careful job. You plain old can't count on them for anything at all. God speaks to us through the prophet Ezekiel these words, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." What Jeremiah refers to as half-heartedness, Ezekiel prefers to call a heart of stone. Either way, they're both referring to the same serious heart condition that we've all been born with, a fatal heart disease. We've been living our whole lives with half a heart. That's right, just half a heart, and one made out of stone to boot. We're all half-hearted, if you will, at least when it comes to our relationship with God. And worst of all, it's a fatal illness. None of us will ever grow up to be full-grown, mature men and women of faith, men and women of total commitment to God. None of us. We will always be half-hearted, and it will kill us in the long run. Good news, folks. Very good news. There's a cure for half-heartedness, and it comes with a 100% guarantee. I don't think your doctor can give you that 100% guarantee. It's called the New Covenant. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts." The New Covenant. The New Covenant paid for with the life of God's only Son. The New Covenant sealed in Christ's blood. The New Covenant, a whole new way of doing things, unlike anything that we have ever seen before. A whole new lifestyle, a whole new life, a whole new lease on life. Yes, folks, there is a cure for our half-hearted hearts of stone, and it's called the New Covenant. Of course, it does require surgery, very radical surgery. It will require that we let God cut us open. Cut us open and take out our half of a heart, our heart of stone, and give us a new heart, a real heart, a whole heart. The New Covenant requires that we have a heart transplant. No more going through life impaired. No more going through life barely alive. No more being half-hearted or lukewarm about our faith or about our God. Through the New Covenant, we receive the gift of health and wholeness. It's through Jesus Christ that we receive that gift of wholeness. And not in the future, not someday, but here and now, right when we need it most to be made wholehearted. Wholeness, wholeheartedness, something we all need. Out with the old and in with the new. You know, we are such frail and delicate creatures. You and I, so fragile, our hearts so weak, so quick to anger, so slow to forgive, so vulnerable to what other people think of us, so ready to provide a list of other people's sins instead of looking into our own hearts, so unwilling to be merciful, so skillful at hiding from God, so ready to run and seek a cure, any cure for our half hearts, except the real cure, the guaranteed cure. Do you sometimes feel like you're just living half a life, that you're half dead or half alive at best? Do you feel like you're living on half of a heart? You know the feeling, just sort of not very interested in much of anything. Maybe feeling a little overwhelmed with life, frustrated or fed up, or just plain old tired, tired of life, tired of your life. It's whole life that God calls us to. It's whole heart that God wants us to have. It's abundant and joyful life, a life rich in grace that God desires us to live, not the half lives that we're willing to settle for. I believe that there is a word for each of us that God would like nothing more than for us to allow Him to write on our hearts. What What is that word for you? What is keeping you from being wholehearted? What is the word that God would have you hear today? What word would God speak into your ear to carve into your heart that you need to hear right now? Today. Forgiven. Beloved. Wonderful. Love. Peace. Joy. What is that word? What are the things, the situations of your life that are keeping you from wholeheartedness, from living a whole life? What are the areas of your life that need to be healed, restored, repaired, forgiven, healed? Only your half of a heart knows the word that God wants to write there, the word that you need to hear, to take to heart, to take to your heart, to change your heart once and for all. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. A God who loves me, we've been talking covenant these past weeks. A God who loves me out of covenantal requirement and contractual obligation. Think of that. A God who loves me out of covenantal requirement and contractual obligation. That sounds like a bunch of legal nonsense, doesn't it? Well, that God, I'm willing to try to love that God half-heartedly. But a God who chooses to love me in Jesus Christ, not out of obligation, not out of pity, not out of necessity, but a God who chooses to love me simply because he thinks that I am the most wonderful and the most special person in the whole world. A God who reminds me that the fulfillment of the law, that the fulfillment of the covenant is love, and then sends his only son, who calls me a friend and is willing to choose to lay down his life for me? Well, that's a different story. The God who chooses to love me in Jesus Christ, well, that God I can, and that God I will love wholeheartedly. How about you? A new heart and a new spirit within you. That's the hope and the promise of the new covenant. Everything made good again, inside and out. You and me, new creations in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, hear and believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and we are set free to live joyful new lives of gratitude and grace. In Jesus Christ, we are free to trade in our old half hearts of stone for new hearts of flesh once and all. We're free to live our lives boldly, fully, wholly, radically, powerfully, as a magnificent glow, full of mercy, full of grace, and full of forgiveness. Amen.